to Detroit Today on 101.9 WDET. I'm Stephen Henderson, and as always, thanks for tuning in. We are talking about all kinds of issues in the run-up to the 2022 midterm elections next Tuesday, but I got to be honest, there's one issue that I wish we didn't have to discuss, and that's the efforts to interfere with or suppress people's right to vote. Democracy doesn't mean much at all if your right to vote isn't respected, if it isn't protected, if it isn't enforced, especially on Election Day. And sadly, there are dedicated interests these days that believe they can win elections or maintain power by making sure that other people's votes don't count. It's not just about getting your side to the polls, getting your votes tallied. It has also become about making sure that the other side doesn't get all of the support that they might have coming to them. Trying to disqualify people from voting, trying to disqualify ballots after they have been cast. Now, we've got a lot of people in the state whose job it is to make sure that doesn't happen, to make sure that those who are eligible and registered to vote can cast those votes without interference or suppression. And at the top of that chain of authority is the Attorney General's office. It has a budget of about $108 million, and it represents the state in court and in legal disputes. This office protects consumers, public safety, victims' rights, takes on civil suits, and addresses illegal businesses when they are operating in our state. But they also have to oversee election enforcement. And for the past 4 years, the person in that role has been Dana Nessel, a Democrat who won in 2018. She faces re-election on Tuesday as well, but she's also really focused on the idea of making sure that the election is secure, making sure that there isn't interference with people's rights to vote next Tuesday. Dana is in a pretty tight race against her Republican opponent, Matt DiPerno, who is the target of a federal investigation to see if he participated in a vote tabulator tampering scheme. Nonetheless, again, the race is very close, and we will all be up pretty late, I think, on Tuesday, waiting for the returns to come in. We have invited Attorney General Nessel onto the program today to talk first about her efforts to make sure that the election is secure, but then also tell us why she is seeking re-election and why she believes voters should return her to another four-year term. Dana Nessel, welcome back to Detroit Today.
Thanks for having me, Stephen.
Yeah. So I want to start with these interferences, these efforts at suppression that are taking place, not just in our state, but all over the country. Talk about what your office does to try to protect the vote, no matter who people are pulling the lever for. And talk about how we can recognize the things that rise to the level of election interference or suppression on Election Day.
Right. Well, where to begin on that subject right now? Firstly, it is my job as Attorney General to ensure that all the legal processes are followed when it comes to elections, to make sure that people are able to cast their ballot free from fear of threat or intimidation or harassment. It's my job to make sure that if there is misinformation or disinformation that is out there illegally, that we take quick action. And an example that I'll give you is a 2020 case that we brought involving illegal robocalls that were being made into the city of Detroit by political operatives to provide false information to people about the process of absentee voting. And we took action, we investigated, and we arrested those people. And now they're charged, actually, in the Wayne County Circuit Court for their actions on that. But in addition, it has to do with making sure that people are voting safely And when they do, that their vote counts to make sure that the election is properly certified. And when I say that, defending the will of the voters, ultimately. And that's what we had to do in 2020, as probably most of your listeners know, there were a slew of lawsuits in an effort to decertify the legitimate results of an election where one person received 154,000 more votes than the other person who was running for president in our state. And we had lawsuit after lawsuit after lawsuit from the likes of, you know, Sidney Powell, from the likes of Attorney General Ken Paxton, who sued us in the United States Supreme Court. Even my opponent, Matthew DiPerno, who filed a lawsuit in Antrim County to try to decertify the results of the 2020 election. That case, by the way, remains pending. So my opponent for Attorney General is still trying to decertify the results of an election that happened now 2 years ago. So there's a lot to it, but it's really just making certain that, you know, all eligible voters have the ability to cast their ballot, to do it safely, and to make sure their vote counts. And it's not my job to pick winners or losers. I don't get to decide who wins an election. I just have to make sure that the will of the people is upheld, whoever they choose. Yeah. And that's what I did in 2020, and that's what I'm going to do again this election.
How concerned are you about what we might see on Tuesday? I mean, as you point out, 2 years ago, there was a lot of back and forth about election legitimacy, lots of efforts to, as you point out, delegitimize ballots that were cast. Do you think we're going to see repeats of that kind of effort this time? And if so, how will we handle them differently, I guess, than we did 2 years ago? Or are we in for just more of the same, extended wrangling over the results of the election?
Well, we've already seen an effort by the Republican Party and members of the Republican Party to try to sow the seeds of disinformation and to file, in many cases, frivolous lawsuits to confuse people and to put people in a position where they believe either that their vote is not going to count or that there are shenanigans involving the election so that you can't trust the system. Now, those things aren't true, right? Firstly, we're going to make sure that everybody's vote does count. But secondly, you know, these election procedures are being properly followed. And so we have, of course, a case that's being heard as we speak right now that was brought by Christina Caramo, who, of course, is the nominee, the Republican nominee, to be our chief elections officer, to be Secretary of State in Michigan, who brought a series of what I would say completely frivolous, vexatious, meritless claims that are nonetheless being heard right now before Chief Judge Timothy Kenney in the Wayne County Circuit Court. But essentially, what she is trying to do is to ensure that no voters in the city of Detroit who have cast their ballots absentee will have their ballots count. Now, that's not going to happen. That is, I can say with 100% certainty that she will fail in this effort, but I think that the larger picture is she wants people to hear about this lawsuit and people to think, well, what's the point in me even voting if my vote isn't going to count? And, you know, similar efforts have been made by the Michigan Republican Party. And it's really unfortunate because I think it's all about voter suppression and it's all about people not trusting the system or thinking that their vote isn't going to count. And I guess what I'm here to tell people is, yes, these lawsuits have been filed. They're going to continue to be filed. I think we'll see these lawsuits filed all the way up through Election Day and then after Election Day. But just the same way they were not successful last time, they're not going to be successful this time. And so people should have every confidence that they'll be able to vote and that their vote is going to count.
Yeah. Okay, I know that you don't have a ton of time to be with us today, but I do want to spend some time talking about your reelection campaign. Let's start with what you would say were your successes during the first 4 years that you've been in office, and then we'll talk about some things that maybe didn't go as you might have wanted them to go.
Well, since we're talking about elections, I mean, I successfully defended the legitimate results of the 2020 election here in Michigan, which was under assault. And what we knew is that if I didn't win all of these cases, that the dominoes were going to fall. I mean, Michigan was just the first of several swing states that the Republicans had targeted. So I'm proud of my work in regard to upholding the will of the people in that election. But, you know, we've had so many other successes in many other areas. I mean, brought in over $820 million to the state of Michigan by suing drug manufacturers and distributors that's going to be used to treat people who have addictions to opioids. We saved ratepayers in the state over $2 billion in increases in their utilities. Our rates are still too high, but they would be much higher had it not been the work that our office did. I argued a case myself personally before the Michigan Supreme Court on March 2nd that at long last now has allowed for LGBTQ people to be protected under our civil rights law so that, you know, gay people, trans people can't be fired from their jobs just based on who they are. Our elder abuse task force, I mean, we made huge strides in protecting seniors who were subjected to abuse and neglect and exploitation economically. It's very hard now for a senior citizen to lose the money they have, their life savings in their bank account, based on making a mistake because they get a text message or a robocall thinking that it's somebody who needs their information, a utility or the IRS or something, and they accidentally give them information that they shouldn't have. And the same goes for our protection for workers. We have made great strides also when it comes to hate crimes and domestic terrorism. You know, we've gone after white supremacy groups that had plans of mass carnage in our churches and in our synagogues, at our grocery stores. Instead, we have a lot of people that are sitting in prison instead of having committed terrible acts of violence. I mean, really, the list goes on and on, but I think I've done so much to protect everyday people all around the state of Michigan in a way that, frankly, no AG had for many, many years. And my hope is to continue to be able to do that.
Let's talk about some of the things that didn't go the way that you probably planned over the last 4 years. Let's start with the Flint water crisis, where we are essentially, I think it's fair to say, at a point where the criminal investigation into what happened there is pretty stalled out. Talk about what happened there.
Well, let's talk about the fact that my assignment on that was to settle the civil cases. I could only handle either the civil or the criminal cases. I could not do both ethically, because in one case you were defending state actors who were accused of wrongdoing, and the other, prosecuting them. So I had to pick one side and build a conflict wall and appoint other people to handle the other side. I picked the civil side, and we got those civil cases settled in fairly short order. It was the largest settlement in the history of the state of Michigan for the residents of the city of Flint. And I had to get it through a Republican legislature who had to approve of it to appropriate those funds. Mm-hmm. So I'm very proud of the fact that we were able to get that done. To help people who had suffered greatly at the hands of their state government under the Snyder administration. That being the case, I appointed Solicitor General Fadwa Hamoud, as well as Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy, to handle the criminal cases. And they did what any prosecutor would do in that time period with what they had, which was to go before a grand jury, a one-man grand jury, so that they could get those cases handled as expeditiously as possible. Obviously, no way of knowing that for the first time in Michigan history, after decades and decades of prosecutors around the state using the one-man grand jury, for the Supreme Court now to say, well, indictments that were issued through the one-man grand jury are invalid, mm-hmm. and that they have to go through a preliminary exam. I mean, this was a system that was good enough for many, many years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of cases, but apparently not when it concerns the former governor and, you know, his cohort.
Is there any hope for criminal prosecutions at this point in the Flint water crisis?
Well, I know that the criminal team has appealed some recent decisions. But I will say this, there were a number of manslaughter charges that were filed. Mm-hmm. Those are still within the statute of limitations. There's a 10-year statute of limitations, remembering that these events occurred in 2014 and 2015. So for those that were charged with manslaughter, absolutely they can still be charged. For other offenses that have a 6-year statute of limitations, I know those are being fought in court right now, but let me say this. You know, as attorneys, we can bring the very best cases that we possibly can, and we can make the very best arguments that we possibly can with the best evidence. But the judge, the courts don't always rule in our favor.
Sure.
And, you know, you show me an attorney that's never lost a case, and I'll show you an attorney that's never brought a meaningful case before in their life. And I know that, you know, Kim Worthy and Fadwa Hamoud have worked diligently on behalf of the residents of the city of Flint to do everything they possibly could to make sure that their interests were properly represented and that they're going to continue to do that. But, you know, for people who question their methodology, kind of hard when Kim Worthy has brought God knows how many hundreds of cases using a grand jury system before and never had any issues, to think that that would happen all of a sudden out of nowhere now. Pretty hard to predict, I would say, if you were her.
Yeah. So, I know you don't have a lot of time, but I do want to ask you about one more thing. These commercials that I see where they're rerunning over and over you saying a drag queen in every classroom, trying to get at you and get at Governor Whitmer. Now, look, I know your sense of humor and guile, and I appreciate it. But I wonder if you regret quipping that way, given the way that that has been turned back around, again, not just on you, but also on Governor Whitmer, who didn't have anything to do with that when you said it. Are you sometimes too flip?
Well, let me say this. I think the thing that's so ridiculous about all of that is that it was a joke that I made, not an actual policy statement, in regard to what was most harming our children in their schools. And the fact is, I have been, you know, pretty very clear about my view on the fact that we have a proliferation of guns in our society. I am running against a guy that believes that there should be no limitation of any kind on the kinds of guns, the amount of guns, who can have a gun, where they can possess a weapon. We know that that is a threat to school children. But for them to say, oh, drag queens are a threat to school children, it's the biggest threat that children are facing in our schools, was ridiculous. And I made a joke about it, obviously not really intending that that was going to be a policy statement, but that's all the Republicans have, right? They don't have good policies, so they have to take a snippet of a joke you make and turn it into something more than it is. But let's be clear about who I'm running against. I'm running against a guy who is best known for bringing these illegitimate lawsuits to try to overturn democracy in our state and also nationally. You know, he's a guy who was fired from law firms for padding, you know, his bills. He's got multiple complaints that are pending for the Attorney Grievance Commission, allegations of assaulting his elderly clients and stealing from them. And his extreme positions, I mean, he opposes not just abortion, even to save the life of a woman, but he opposes birth control. He wants that to be illegal. You know, he's a person who, instead of fighting domestic terrorism the way that I have, he supports domestic terrorists. He would dismiss the pending cases against the Wolverine Watchmen, who lent material support to try to, you know, kidnap and assassinate the governor. He supports that, whereas, of course, I prosecuted. I mean, he's such an extreme individual.
Right. I guess my question, though, is again, do you think sometimes, and again, I know your sense of humor and I appreciate it, but do you think you feel by saying what you did and the way you did it, are you feeding into this machine, I guess, that takes things out of context and inappropriately casts things as being serious when they aren't? And that it could, you know, do damage to your efforts at reelection or at the governor's.
I think the thing ultimately, you know, listen, I respect your work as a journalist, Stephen, but I have to say this. I never get asked about the fact that I saved the ACA, the Affordable Care Act,
sure,
for 3 million Michiganders in Michigan. That's 3 million people who have health insurance now that could have very well lost it. Yeah. Many of those would have certainly
super
lost
important. It. Super important.
Yeah. Had I not taken that case to the United States Supreme Court, I never get asked about that, but I get asked every day about the quip I made joking about drag queens. And that's a problem, because the actual work I've done at that office has improved the lives of millions and millions of our residents in our state. But I rarely get asked about that. But boy, I sure get asked about that drag queen remark every solitary day.
We did talk about your work a bit too, but I hear what you're saying. Yes, there are more important things. I just wondered if maybe you were thinking a little harder about again the way that your sense of humor can be misused. Anyway,
well, Stephen, I mean, but you know what? I mean, I guess you know it's funny, but I think that as you know, as politicians, as elected leaders, and especially as women, you know, we really can't win. If we're too serious all the time, then we're robots. Hmm. If we make, you know, if we try to use humor to make a point, you know, then that's used against us as well. I think what people should look at is, first of all, how dangerous my opponent is. And he is truly a dangerous person who would try to subvert democracy in our state. How do we know that? Because he's already done it. He's doing it right now. But not just that, but, you know, I've done a lot of really important things in office, and all you have to do is just Google me, and you will find story after story after story of things that I've done to assist people in the state of Michigan. But what you see is that here, even though I brought the most successful, you know, prosecutions on, you know, major sexual assault investigations in the history of this state, including our clergy abuse investigations, I'm running against a guy who has not even indicated that he would continue my major sexual assault investigations. But you never hear about that. You don't, that's not a talking point that you hear in any interview, but boy, you sure do hear about my one joke about drag queens. And I think that's a problem.
Yeah. All right. Well, fair enough. And I hear you. We did talk about your work though. And I did that first, but I absolutely respect what you're saying here. I also really respect that you came on to talk with us and spent more time than I think you had planned to. So I really appreciate that. Thank you again for coming on to Detroit today.
Thanks for having me, Steve. Much appreciated.
Yep. Okay. Just a note. We have reached out to Dana Nessel's Republican opponent, Matt Perno, to see if he would come on to Detroit today to discuss his candidacy as well. He has not yet accepted that invitation. Of course, there are two more shows before the election, Friday and Monday, and we would love to have him here. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to keep talking about Michigan politics, but we're going to pivot a little to talk about all the money that is being spent during campaign season. Senior politics reporter from MLive, Simon Schuster, is going to join us. He has been following this really closely. We'll also get you going on the phones and on social. 313-577-1019 is the number. We'll be right back with more Detroit Today.